Okay, we're going to come in with the devil.
Yeah, like I'm not showing you Yesung's personal work, because I could go on a crusade on that. Just hours of him singing his heart out, because he's so good.
Hey, this is Craig Greenberg here on Comic Pop Library.
Another episode of Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Louise,
Jacob,
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at the K-pop group Super Junior and their album Devil. And this is one that April chose because she enjoys it, and we all enjoy the K-pop here, so we'll let April take it away with Super Junior.
Yeah, all right. So this is, as you can hear in what Dad said, this is a Korean pop group. And I've been a big fan for K-pop for a couple years now, and they're actually the first group I ever listened to, so they're pretty special to me. But right now, currently the active members in the group are Laetuk, Haechul, Yesung, Rio Work, and Kyuhyun, and I probably pronounced most of those wrong, so I'm sorry for that. And then current inactive members right now are Kangjin, Shindong, Sungmin, Yunhyuk, Siwon, and Donghae, and the majority of them are on their military service right now. So they will more than likely rejoin after their service. Mm. This is Devil. It's their, I think, 10th album.
Sounds right.
Oh, yeah, wow. They've had 8 Korean albums and 1 Japanese one. The Korean albums were Twins in 2005, Don't Dun 2007, Sorry Sorry in 2009, Phenomena 2010, Mr. Simple 2011, Sexy Free and Single 2012, Mamacita 2014, Devil 2015, and then their Japanese one was Hero back in 2013. And this is their 2015 album, is Devil. It came out July 15th, I believe, of 2015. This album was their 10th anniversary album. They were formed in 2005 by their producer, Lee Soo-man of SM Entertainment. That's their company. But they were in the works and being made starting in 2000. So it took them about 5 years to get everybody they wanted in the group, all the auditions done, all the scouting, and then get them kind of trained and ready to sing and dance. And
I'm not sure about all of the companies in Korea, but S&M Entertainment, is it S&M?
SM.
Just SM.
Not S&M.
Excuse me.
Oh my God.
SM Entertainment, they're ones that they do that with all the groups and singers. They make them practice and get prepped, get all their moves down before they actually introduce them to the public.
Right. And as I said, right now there are 5 active members, but at the height of Super Junior, they have about 13 members, is the top of that. And Jacob's over here like, Jesus, oh my God.
And one's a little special because it's the return of one member from his military service.
Yeah, Yesung.
And it's April's favorite one.
Yeah, Yesung is my favorite. My first video I watched of theirs was Mr. Simple. Oh, back in 2011, I guess. Yeah, because I watched it when it came out. Wow.
Time flies.
Time flies, yeah, yeah. When you're jamming to K-pop. Yeah, no, just fell in instant love with Yesung. I mean, he's an incredible singer. I really, really love listening to him. But yeah, so he's come back. And God, you got me thrown off.
Sorry. Well, one of the unique things I think about that are unique to Korea as well. And we did a review of Girls' Generation album as well a couple of years back, and it's from the same company. But these groups also splinter off into subgroups.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of unusual because you hear of people in, you know, the States or Britain breaking off to do a solo album, stuff like that. But usually that's the breakup of the group. But this one, it's kind of standard.
Well, the way that works so well in Korea, to me, in South Korea, and just Asian groups in general, I see it a lot in Japan too,
okay,
and all that, is because for a lot of Western countries, a lot of the bands you hear were formed themselves and started indie and grew, and especially with K-pop, J-pop, J-rock, it's the band is formed and then they grow. There's not a lot of homegrown roots to it, you know?
Okay.
So instead of Super Junior starting out practicing in their garage, they started out being plucked by SM, being put into the recording booth, being put into choreography lessons, training for the stage. You know, that's all, you know, they've looked at, not the simple, you know, two people go to a concert type of beginning. And that's also why they have higher numbers in their groups. You know, this is 13. Girls' Generation, they have a pretty high number as well, because they want a lot of versatility in their group, singing-wise and also looks, personality-wise, because the more you diversify, the more apt you are to get the most fans, you know, because my type of guy may not be the next girl's. So if they make sure to get a wide enough, I don't know,
demographic,
variety of, yeah, there different guys, then they're more likely to get more girls to like it, and that's also why they do the subgroups.
And the different styles comes into play there as well, because mm-hmm. different ones will key on certain styles, it seems like you said.
They try to pull from everything
because
to really
Sunny
market.
And Girls' Generation does the rap. I'm not sure the one guy that you said did the rap.
Yeah, they have, yeah, they usually have two rappers that I've seen in Super Junior. And the rest, like Yesung, he's more of a ballad singer. Like, you can always tell who the singers are and who the dancers are in the group because, the singers will get the most lines. You'll see them the most one-on-one in camera shots. But when they're doing the big group numbers, they're always to the back. And not that they're not doing a good job. They're everyone's in sync. Everyone's doing really, really well in sync. It's funny.
Yes, okay. This is basically a boy band.
Punny. Anyways, but, you know, that's cause since it's not their strength, they put them in the back. And with this, though, Super Junior, I would say it's kind of been proven over and over that they are kind of the top dog of men's K-pop. They, I think, were like the really one of the first big splashes internationally that they've had. And that started with them when they came out with Sorry Sorry, that album. It was their first best-selling number one single to be released. It was their first best-selling CD and so-and-so, and they've won numerous awards over the years. I could read them, but God, it would take a while because they usually win multiple awards in one awards event, you know, not scattered sporadically around like some. And then there was one other thing I wanted to touch on, but I can't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, no.
I know. I had it highlighted and everything. That's all right. But yeah, they're subgroups, to point that out. It's their first one is Super Junior KRY. That was the one Yesung is in. Then you have Super Junior T, Super Junior M, Super Junior H, and Super Junior D and E. And then getting into the actual music of it, of this album, Devil.
And that's what we let in on, was Devil.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, one of the things before we get into the music, a lot of this, the music I love, but you get a different experience when you watch their videos. It's just a lot more enjoyable, whether it's Super Junior or whether it's the girl group. But, I mean, the dancing and the production of the videos is just fun to watch a lot of times.
Yeah, they definitely focus on more of a visual song.
Well, isn't that how like South Korea is though? Like they want to show off. The music videos are always up. What is the word I'm looking for? Over the top with everything.
Yeah,
with
what they do. Yeah, that's kind of how it is in general over there. With
which is
yeah, pretty, with yeah. with all with music videos and then their TV shows are very
exactly even yeah. just
exaggerated.
The commercial,
their lights, like, their yeah.
Even TV commercials, like, so, you know, which is pretty cool. I mean, I feel like sometimes we're kind of boring, but hey, we got our own
compared, we kind of are.
True.
But they're pretty cool, though, too. I enjoyed the videos we watched.
And I think the Devil video was the coolest one I've seen of theirs, because it didn't feature them dancing as much. So it was felt more like a short film.
It looked like a lot of trailers, because a lot of the stuff they were showing, like, it kept on showing, you know, like, I guess their name or whatever, like, you know, like if it's a soap opera, like if the guy came in, he's like John or whatever, you know what, you get what I'm saying though, like, right, it shows like a pose they did, yep. and it pauses it, and it yeah. shows their name, and then it goes to the next person, he does something, and then it shows his name, I guess, like introducing the singers mm-hmm. as along as they go with the video. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's where a lot of their money goes, is the production yeah. of the videos, which to me is definitely worth it. And you can tell, as you said, there's usually a theme to all of their albums, but it's not always the same theme, genre-wise. They've played with rock, they've played with bubblegum pop, the really classic, which is a little bit of what's in this album. They've done electro beats, some synth work. And acoustics on this, which I really appreciate. And to me, I feel like the overall feeling of this, of Devil, is 90s.
I get a little bit of a mixture, but it's a lot more pop than anything else.
Yeah.
That's pretty much puts it right in the 90s. But I like you said, I think it was Stars Appear is the acoustical one, and then it comes in a little bit bigger at the chorus, but that was really cool to go back mm-hmm. on. What was it? There was a couple of them. Maybe it was just one that I really felt it. Oh, there was a couple. The seventh one, Love at First Sight, it has a slow opening and intro with lyrics, and then it moves into a jazzy feel, I thought.
Yeah.
And I really liked that.
I put Pop and Mop.
Pop and Mop. And then Forever With You, I thought that had a 70s feel, kind of like a disco feel.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
The very last song, All Right. That almost felt like a 40s, 50s at the intro. Then it went into a pop at the chorus.
I wrote down reggae, kind 90s reggae.
Yeah, like a Latin.
I've written down Michael Jackson 90s. I've written down Britney Spears 90s.
Okay. The last one for sure for me felt a little Latin, a little reggaeton-ish, kind of a little bit.
And that's a good point, is that at least in some of their songs, they try to change the style of the music throughout the song. How usually, you know, if it's a rock song, it's a rock song through and through. That's how it is. And with them, they're very good at effortlessly going from like soft acoustics to the pop. You can get a little, you can put rap in there and it makes sense, and then go to reggae, and the way that they merge it to where you don't notice it, or you do in an appreciative way, is really, really neat, you know.
Well, let's take a moment, since April mentioned the rock, and there's one song specifically that has a rock feel to it to me, and I thought it was that Rock and Shine, and April was wanting to spotlight that one. So give us a moment, and we'll be right back.
Power, build a music tower.
And again, that was Rock and Shine. And then, like I said, that had a little bit of the rock feel that April was talking about. So we'll go back and...
Oh, and for all of you purists out there, pure rock fans that, you know, will get offended by that.
It was infused with a little bit of pop.
Yeah, definitely. It's so we're not saying this is like deathcore metal or anything, but it's got a lot more attitude than, or just at least a different style of attitude than what you'd usually hear from a K-pop group.
And I think that's one of the things that's to their advantage is they don't do the hard shifts to the different styles. They kind of keep it within the pop genre, but they put those stylings within the songs.
Right, so, right. And I have noticed that depending on the style of the song depends on how much auto-tune they use, you know. So if they're doing maybe more of an R&B piece or bubblegum pop, they're going to auto-tune the hell out of the voices. And to me it that kind of verges on the edge for me because I've never been a huge fan of auto-tune, you know, which is not a natural sound, you know, and it's right. Just really strange. And so, but I do understand why they do it, especially for the concerts. Dear God, they're dancing so much. They can't support anything. I feel so bad.
And if they're actually singing, these groups that dance like they do.
Congratulations.
I don't think they are.
I'm so proud of them.
They're always slip-singing. Even though if it's a live concert, but 80% of the time is always slip-singing just in case if they mess up or something because...
Well, shoot, they'll be out of breath.
Well, yeah, it's different standing in a booth singing it for an album.
And all that dancing.
Yeah, I mean, as out of breath as artists get that just walk around stage and kind of jump around a bit. And they have routines daily. And we noticed they go big, like we said, on visual stuff and at concerts. I saw their one of their last world tours. They started off with a 3-day concert in Seoul. One concert spanning 3 days. I don't know.
Would be shot.
And that's just the first concert out of numerous.
And I liked what they called their concerts. It was like Super One.
Yeah.
Super Tour One, Super Tour Two.
They keep it very simple. You always know which one they're getting ready for. Definitely. Yeah. So, but I'm always drawn more to them when the pop ones I like more when I watch the video. Yeah, you know, just, you know, keeps your mind going and really into it. But for me, the one I really liked on this album was the fifth song, which was...
We Can.
Yeah, We Can. And that kind of reminded me of Hot Shell Ray. Does anyone remember them? They were like... They came out with... what was it? They came out with Bleed, if you know that song.
It's
one of their songs. But they were probably mid to later 2000s is when they peaked. And they're really, really good because it's a bit more of a raw sound to it. You know, you can hear...
Well, it's a slower song.
Yeah.
It's a romantic song.
It's more of an acoustic.
And I like the way they did the featured artists. They had at a regular volume, and then in this one the background artists they kept in the background and they were just underneath the featured artist, because a lot of times when they come in they try to blend, where these they kind of kept them a little separate, and I kind of thought that was kind of a neat styling of how they did that song, and I enjoyed that anyway for that.
Yeah, I think I'll always just appreciate this, probably the slower stuff that they do, just because that usually means there's less auto-tune to it, you know, which is just like a personal... it's an issue I've always had. It's not just K-pop. You know, it's everyone that I'll pick on for that. And then I noticed some of them... Oh, that one we just listened to.
Rockin' and Shine.
Yeah, Rockin' and Shine. I put Flying Monkeys of them because of the yo-ho, yo-ho. You know.
Yeah.
Just put me with the Wizard of Oz, with the... Witch of the West, Wicked Witch of the West. But,
well, the one I really liked was All Right, the very last one. And we're not going to spotlight that in this show, but that was the one that I really liked because I liked the different stylings that were mixed in with the lighter sound at the beginning and then through the lyrics, and then the chorus comes in a little bit bigger. So I enjoyed that one.
Yeah. I think the big thing for me is that sometimes the attitude doesn't show through if you're just listening to the album for some songs. Like, it doesn't all connect right in your head. And then, and that to me is another reason why it's really important to go watch the videos. Because after you watch the video once, you can just listen to the song and you'll have that image in your head. So you'll understand it more and what's happening, especially since this is in a different language. So if you don't speak Korean, you're kind of just like, well, it's saying what? Something. But I don't, some people have a problem with that, but I don't mind listening to foreign language.
Again, I've never had a problem with that. So we've always listened to the J-pop, K-pop.
We've had one Spanish album.
Yeah, we did some of that.
Like French folk music is nice too.
As long as it got a good beat and they got good sound.
Music is music for me.
And they throw in some English words.
Well, a lot of them
throw you a bone.
I don't know if that's throwing a bone all the times or if they don't have the equivalent in their language. Because sometimes that's the case too.
But sometimes for me it sounds pretty cool when they do throw in the English word in there. Because, you know,
I think it's just
like what was the one you said, Mamacita or something like that?
Yeah, Mamacita.
See, that's pretty cool. I mean, they are going to throw in that part in there because, I don't know, I just always think it's really cool how they do that because I'm guessing it flows with their song, I guess, you know?
Well, and I think, I don't know if it's a conscious thing, but it also shows kind of why they're who they are and why they're there because throughout school, it's mandatory to learn English. But
true.
Whether it's like us, you know, it's mandatory to take Spanish or any foreign language, but really, how much do you actually learn when that happens? And so it's kind of a bit of a status thing as well to be able to speak.
Well, I was going to say, don't they learn it all the way through school, though? It's not just one or two
years in high school.
Yeah.
So I think theirs is all every year. Yeah.
Which is good. That way it sticks with you because, like Logan said, it's not just 2 years in high school.
2 years in high school of Spanish and after 1 year, you have no clue what anything is.
I didn't know what anything was during the year.
I remember shoes, zapatos.
I don't. I remember triste, but I don't know what it means because it doesn't mean thirsty.
Miércoles Tuesday?
No, triste means sad.
That's so dumb. No,
miércoles was Tuesday.
I mean, I get it, but it sounds like thirsty.
I have no clue, though.
What'd you say?
Miércoles was Tuesday and Viernes was another day.
Miércoles is
Wednesday.
Ah. So.
Yeah. 2 years.
At first I thought he said miracles. I'm like.
Miércoles.
Yeah.
I want to get with Jacob here. He's listened to some of this. Do you listen to much foreign music at all? Or?
Nope.
So what?
What do you listen to?
Exactly. I know Gangnam Style. Does that count? That was Korean, right?
Yeah.
I think everybody listened to that.
That thing blew up quick. Oh,
so what do you listen to?
I listen to a lot of stuff, but not a whole lot
of. Not a lot of foreign.
Not a lot of K-pop, I guess is what we call it, or J-pop.
What is your number one, I guess,
genre, not band.
Rock or hard rock?
Probably rock.
Yeah.
But with the stylings of the music, do you think somebody could get into it without knowing the lyrics per se? Just getting with the beats of the songs?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, I mean, the little bit that I listened to, I mean, I enjoyed. I have no idea what they're saying except for the little bit of English they throw in. So it's more like what do they have? They have Spanglish. So this is Kring. Is this Kringlish? You know, so, I mean, it's not bad. I can't say it's something that I would queue up to listen to.
Like you want to just throw in the CD and jam out to.
Right, but it's like, okay.
But you know, if it happened to be playing in the background.
Or if like I put it on my, or if I hit the like button on my Spotify and it rolls through as a playlist.
Oh, crap.
I'm not going to hit the skip button.
Right.
Not every time.
I can see that. But I don't think, and it's kind of K-pop in general, but I don't think these songs are ones that you hate suddenly, you know. I feel like you have to work to hate these songs, not because they're amazing and life-changing and will save the world, but just because they are made so well to have a likable beat,
right?
At least to carry you through the song.
I feel like this is just me though, but like I feel like they focus on like, okay, how can this song make it, how can this song look good on a music video, and then they go from there, you know. And then, because, you know, like you guys said, you know, they focus on the music video really, really well. So I feel like when they're writing a song or anything, they're like, how can we interpret this so it can come out really good on the video and people enjoy it?
And it helps, they invest a lot in the videos and make it really interesting. And then they use the carrying beats and chords and rhythms to carry the song to make you want to go back and watch the listen to the song and go back and watch the video, because it's not often that I'll sit down and watch a music video while listening to a song.
I mean,
you know, usually like I just play the song and go do stuff because I'm more worried about the song itself. But with this, I've watched videos numerous times, even though nothing changes. It's so good that it's like, I'll go back and watch it.
Question for you. If the company didn't control the groups like they did and they were able to go out on their own and do their own styles, do you think it would be as enjoyable? Or is it the company's making it enjoyable?
I think it's the company's making it enjoyable. I think agree. Because I don't know if Super Junior, if they started, you know, like we were saying, in the garage and started with just their own thoughts through everything, I don't even know if they would necessarily be this genre.
Kind of like you said, they went in auditions. Maybe they had a little bit of music background, but like they weren't as good. So they're like, okay, let's go do tryouts, you know, and they might not be friends, you know, just like they just met right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, kind of like you said, this company makes them who they are.
Mm-hmm. And that's how what happened to One Direction as well, is that they were were formed as a group. They didn't have the decision hardly. And then so I think
patronship in mass.
I don't doubt that that Korean groups would still be very good and still have a lot of great music
if they were on their
if they were on their own. It's just I don't know,
it would be different.
How different it would sound, because it's a formula. I mean, the very Devil sounds eerily similar to a bunch of Girls' Generation songs, and not only because it's the same entertainment company, but just because K-pop in general has that distinguished sound to it, and that's the formula being changed.
And I was going to say that with Forever With You, that I mentioned, that had the 70s disco type sound, that felt like a Girls' Generation.
And you can do that with, you can play that card, that little devil's question, to any genre, because look at country, they have 7 chords, you just
change it up a little
just
bit.
Change it up just a little bit and you got all these different songs. And same with, you know, pop, rock, folk. You know, so they've found what works, and they're using it to their advantage, which can't blame them for that. It clearly works. Most everyone loves it.
And I thought it was interesting when we were reading about them a little bit. They originally started out, the company was wanting them to be a true rotational band, where once the group members got old enough, they're kind of retired and a new group got brought in.
I think
with a third album, it said, or second album, they decided that no. When they got the 13th member, they said they decided.
I think
no,
that's not, is, don't
the
they
core.
Do that in Japan with some groups where like
some
I think because I know because I know that's four. How Baby Metal was born, right? Like the one of the singers was too old for her own thing, so she left, and then
and then they brought
that,
in the two others to do. Because
I can't remember the group's name, but it's a lot of initials, SDNK.
I don't know.
I'm not sure what it is,
one,
but it's another girls' group, and they have a large. What do you want to call it? Not a casting, but a large group of performers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you said, when they get so old, they kind of get replaced with newer ones.
Yeah.
But with Super Junior, they decided, no, we want to keep this group. Because they were titled Super Junior 5 to begin with, and then Super Junior 6, and then they decided the third year,
we're
just keeping these guys. Even when they, you know, April's talked about, you know, they have a compulsory military service of 2 years. So when those guys are out, they either break up into their subgroups or they still go out and just the ones that are
active. So isn't
it
mandatory over there, right?
Yeah, it's mandatory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Dude, yeah. And I think this is about as big a group as you want, 13, because even that's stretching it pretty harshly. I mean, because I said, you know, you want the different guys for different types. As terrible as that sounds, it sells. But you also want to make sure that you keep the number low enough to where you can have that screen time for each person, so that they're doing their job effectively of gathering fans and everything. And another thing they do, I think Girls' Generation did it as well, that with the, where's the album? Dang.
You have it.
Sorry. with the album, you...
Their albums are... They cost a lot, but they put a lot of production into
their
album.
Yeah, the Devil one, it's basically a little book. It's thick. It's got a spine.
It's pretty cool.
You know, an actual spine. And then within it, it has a lot of different photos, like just like a mini photo shoot set.
pretty much a portrait of every single guy.
Yeah, different costumes. And I mean, I don't know if their style's the greatest.
Well, it's very K-pop.
But it's very K-pop. Yesung looks good, I think. He's got the best outfits. Look at that face.
Well, he's covering his face, kind of, so.
Oh, can't so really great. It. Let me find one with his. They did a black and white version of the members, and then they brought in some retro, really bright colors to it as well. Mm-hmm. Look at him.
That looks very 80s for sure. Like, especially the clothes and the backgrounds. Like, it does.
Miami Vice.
Kind of, yeah. Definitely, yep. Definitely, especially with the suits. You know,
what am I thinking of right now that he said that? Oh, Zoolander. Kind of. See, I think Yesung got the best outfit out of them all.
That was pretty cool.
Yep. But what I was getting at was usually with the album you get a little card of one specific member, like a little picture card with some info of them on the back. Yeah, and so, but it's a random choice of what you get, so it's a big bribe to buy multiple versions of it if you wanted that one specific person, but you never got him, you'd keep buying.
Yeah, until you get the one you want.
And this is one for public libraries. You know, if you have a K-pop or J-pop section, you definitely want to have these guys included in it. You are going to be spending a little bit of money because you are paying import fees for these.
Yeah.
So the albums are usually around $25, $30 before shipping.
Honestly, that's not bad, especially for you're getting a cardboard.
Not with what they have there.
Exactly how they're presenting it, $30 is not bad.
Right. For a personal collection, it's great. But for a public library, a lot of times those booklets aren't going to be included.
True.
Or they might just be a copy because they don't want to get the cover destroyed.
Get it torn up. Yeah.
Because if it gets destroyed, they want to be able to make another edition for it. So it is a little bit of a more expense for a public library. But for a personal collection, yeah, the $25,
$30 fee, just
you are getting a nice product. You're not just getting the songs, you're getting the product. And I think the Girls' Generation one of them had videos. Which one was that one? Did Girls' Generations have a video disc with it? Or some DVD portion to it?
I think Mumford & Sons did.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm
thinking.
But that's a common thing with the K-pop and J-pop, too. Sometimes they'll include videos.
Depends on if you get deluxe versions or not. Because the one we had was the On the Road deluxe version of the album. Because April ain't no cheapskate when it comes to albums, at least.
Oh, CDs are great. I love CDs.
Right?
I'd rather buy a CD than digital. Same. Well, that's just me though. Everybody tells me there's no difference, but
Exactly.
Having a, when you tell your friends, I tell a lot of my friends because I collect stuff too. And it comes with video games, you can show them, okay, look at all my games. Instead of going to your friend's house who does digital, let me scroll through this, And it's just, it's not the same, showing them a big old shelf of games or movies or CDs than just your Xbox just sitting there with nothing, but that's just true. Me.
But it is getting that way, though, more to digital.
It's just because it's cheaper for them to produce, they can just, let's just sell it right then and there.
There's money for them to waste. I think K-pop might be, would be most likely to hold on to the CDs as well as electronic, because there's some that are just electronic releases, but to me, K-pop, as crazy as fans get, look at the Beliebers and Directioners. Is it Beliebers? Believers? Beliebers?
Beliebers, yeah.
Beavers?
Beaver, no.
Justin Bieber's fans.
Whatever they are.
Taylors and all that. And you think they're crazy, or the Beehive is Beyonce's fans. As crazy as they are, K-pop fans are double that, at least.
Not even double. They're way more than that.
Yeah, they are outrageously dedicated and emotional, because it's all driven on hormones and they're all around 13, so they'll spend any kind of money on anything to get that guy's face and everything. So that's why I think
I do like this, where it shows like you were talking about in the album, it has the song and it has the lyrics. I can't read it,
but they didn't translate it.
But it's really cool though.
They
like
do that sometimes.
Okay,
which is really cool, yeah, because it tells you know who the song was by and then all this stuff, the vocals and everything. Mm-hmm. And I like that because, you know, sometimes what if you like to sing along to the song, but not, mm-hmm. in this case, you can't unless you translate it, but still, it is really cool.
But it I like gives it more of an authentic feel, too. I mean, it's not that special in Korea to see Korean in a CD album, but order it from anywhere else and you can be like, no, it actually is, you know, from Korea and everything. But yeah, I think K-pop is definitely a genre that will hold on to CDs as long as possible just because they will always make more than they spend on it.
Okay, is that going to pretty much do it for Super Junior's double album? Or you have a little bit more, April?
I think that's about it.
That's about it. It's a good album to have, especially, like I said, if you like K-pop, J-pop.
And look into their other albums as well. Yeah. I mean, all of them are good quality.
Even while we were jumping through some videos, I forced them to watch a Christmas video that they had out that I enjoyed.
Honestly, it's not that bad, but it's just a little early for Christmas.
But you can get in touch with us at our email at admin@comicpoplibrary.com, through our Facebook account, or through our Twitter account. Just look up Comic Pop Library. We have a few Twitters that's come through. Excuse me. We've had a few tweets that's come through. One of them is from Breezy. We did a spotlight on her single, Riptide, and she just wants to say thank you to us for taking the time to listen and for checking out our tune. So we appreciate her sending it our way. The other group that has gotten in touch with us, we spotlighted a couple of their songs. And since we're doing K-pop, I thought it was kind of appropriate to do their mention here. This is Alice Underground. And the first music video or single that we spotlighted was Superman. And they kind of had a jazzy feel and had the old, kind of a Superman's vibe to it. And this is what they wrote. We recently had a nice write-up on Comic Pop Library where they made a connection between our Superman and the Superman that everyone knows and love, the dude with the red cape you desired for yourself with a wink. And then they did a very cool cover of the opening song of Cowboy Bebop.
Nice.
I can't remember the name of that song off the top of my head though. Gah, that's lost me. But anyway, they were performing at the Anime Expo. But again, they shouted back out to us saying, thanks, Comic Pop Library, for the shout out about us being at Comic Pop, for being at Anime Expo and featuring their Comic Bebop show. And like I said, this was a very cool cover. The video to it was very cool as well.
Yes, it was.
Again, like I said, if you want to get in touch with us, send us something our way. We've been listening and talking about Super Junior's Devil album, and this is a K-pop group. We are going to be leaving out on We Can. This is a little bit slower song, so it's a spotlight, a different style that they contribute to their album with. And I think that's going to pretty much do it for us. We've had fun discussing Super Junior. We hope you've had fun listening. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Bye.
Julie,
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.